Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Hello, guys. Are you ready today for the Word of God? Wherever you're at right now in your homes, I want you to get your Bible or your device or whatever and turn with me to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation. And just while you're turning there, I really sense that God wants us to understand His plan, because He has a plan. And I really hope that it simplifies some stuff today. I've tried to keep it as simple as possible, but it's powerful. And right now today, I want us to pray. Would you help me to pray right now? Where you're at, in your home, whoever it is that you're with right now, would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we're so grateful, oh God, that we can join together. That even though we can't meet as churches in buildings, God, that Your church has gone out, spread out, and that's a good thing that we're seeing for the future. Every house, let it light up right now with the power and the life of Jesus Christ. Every home right now, be filled with the anointing and the presence of a holy God. Lord, as we gather around Your word together today, in all of our different places, as we unify, I pray that You would speak to our hearts. And in all things, oh God, we ask that our lives would be a reward for Your sacrifice. Jesus, just take a moment right now and just thank Him for His word. Thank Him for His grace. Thank Him for His love. Thank You, Jesus. Book of Revelation, chapter 12. And this message is about understanding the plan of God. Revelation, chapter 12, verse 7 through 9. And it says, "Then there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and the dragon lost the battle." Come on now, that should give someone a little bit of hope already. "And the dragon lost the battle, and he and his angels were forced out of heaven." Verse 9, it says, "This great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to earth with all his angels." This is a powerful scripture. It tells us a lot about some of the things that take place in the world that we live in. Right now, we're living through a time that most people that are listening to me right now would never ever have thought would happen. We kind of just got on with life as, you know, almost business as usual. We go through our motions. We go through our different things that we do in our week. But we never, ever thought that we were going to be in a position like this. Well, it seems like the whole world has been locked down. There's bad news all over our TVs. Whenever you put on news programs, there's bad news that's taking place. And there's even fake news. You know, that thing about fake news has become a little bit of a cliched word. It's fake news, it's fake news. And sometimes we can apply it to stuff we don't like. We just say, oh no, it's fake news. But I want to let you know something. You have to be careful about everything that you listen to or watch, because there is some fake news out there. And I don't know if you've realized, but everyone now has an opinion and the platforms to be able to put their opinions out there. We have to be very careful about what it is that we're listening to so that our minds don't get twisted. Can someone say amen in your house right there? The truth is that we're actually right now in a war against an invisible enemy. We know right now that in this pandemic that there is this virus, this little crown, spiked crown, little viral thing that is attacking people. And it is actually doing it. We're hearing terrible, horrible, heartbreaking stories of people that have lost their loved ones. And our hearts go out to any one of you that's listening in that knows someone that has lost someone. Our prayers are with you, and I pray the comfort of God would be upon you at this time. Horrible things that are taking place in the world that we live. Bad news everywhere, fake news everywhere else. But I have some good news for you today. I've got good news for you today. God has a plan. In all of this, what's going on, God has a plan. And God's plan is fail-proof. It's fail-proof, and it's right on schedule. People have asked me, Pastor, what do you think is happening in the world today? And I'll be honest with you, we can't know everything that's happening in the world today. But I want to let you know something, that God's plan is right on schedule. What God wants to happen is happening right now. What we have to do is we have to try and understand what that plan is so we can be involved in his plan, because his plan is going to work out. This worldwide chaos hasn't taken him by surprise. He's still ultimately in control. And this is important to remember, because there's a lot that's going on right now that's outside of our control. This COVID-19 virus has made sure of that. Because then you realize that this little thing can actually take your health and even possibly take your life. This invisible little thing has taken our control away. Then government decisions have made sure of that. How many of you know that government decisions, and as Christians, we're called to pray for our governments. We're called to do what it is that our government wants us to do within reason. Unless the government tells us to stop worshiping Jesus, then we'll pray for them and we'll back them up. But government decisions have ensured that we're locked down in our houses and we can only go out at certain times. It's out of our control, man. Then there's business shutdowns, there's job losses, there's the required lockdowns of all of these things have made sure that things are outside of our control. There's financial uncertainty. Some of you maybe have financial uncertainty. Then there's the grief of thousands of families who've lost loved ones. And all of it seemingly goes beyond our ability to control. But one thing that is in our control, one thing that nobody can take away from us, is our response to what's going on. I read a story once of an Austrian Jew by the name of Viktor Frankl. He was a neurologist and a psychologist, and he survived in World War II. Throughout World War II, he survived the Nazi death camps, where so many Jews were killed in what they call the Shoah. And he survived it. And when he came out, he had this to say. He wrote it in his book, and it became something that he became famous of. He said this. He said, "Everything can be taken from a man, but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way." So today, in the midst of all the things that are outside of our control, there is one thing that we have in our control. There's one thing that you have in your control right now, and it is your ability to choose what you're going to do, how you're going to respond in the midst of that. That's a freedom that we have. Listen, don't let anyone try and fool you that you are just a pre-programmed robotic meat suit, that you just evolved and you are subject to your DNA, and that you have no ultimate future or value. Don't let anyone try and fool you into thinking that that is the reality, because you are more than just an expression of your DNA. You're an intentionally created being, and you have a certain amount of free will. And in that free will, you can make choices. You're a soul in a body that has amazing potential. You know you've got destiny. You know, there's a plan for you, a destiny for you, a destination for you to reach. And you're loved. You have to understand that. Some of you are feeling lonely right now. Don't be isolated. Get insulated. Pick up the phone. Get on the internet. Get someone around you. But understand, even if you can't do that, that the Creator God loves you. He loves you. And He values you. Everyone's valuable at a time like this in different ways. And what we're seeing is we're seeing some of the people that were overlooked before, some of the jobs that were overlooked, all of a sudden being raised up to prominence right now. Our workers, our NHS workers, our drivers, all of these different people are now seeing their true worth and their true value as part of society. But you, individually, you have value as well, and you're valued by God, your Creator. But the key is this. The key with this free will is to know what to use your choice for. There's two plans for humanity, and they both originate from two different places. One is internally based, one is externally based. Simply put, God has a plan. We've already said that. God has a plan. But He has an enemy. And His enemy, called Satan, and I want to let you know this, because all of a sudden I'm starting to talk about some spiritual stuff, and some people, it freaks you out. But it's true anyway. Satan is not a name as much as a title. It's a title that he was given. The adversary, the one that opposes the will and the plan of God. But he also has a plan. Some of you right now also, you're thinking, well, what about my plans? I've got plans. Why do I need God? Why do I even need this devil figure? Any myth? Listen, your plan fits into one of these two, whether you like it or not. Whether you like it or not, the truth is that our plans only ever fit into one of the other two eternal plans for humanity. You're either going to be following God's plan, or by default, you're going to be part of Satan's plan. But understand this before we dig into this for a few minutes. Understand this. This is important. Turn around, tell your neighbor, listen up, this is important. Understand, God and Satan are not equals. Satan is not equal to God. God is far more powerful than any enemy that he has. He's the uncreated creator, and he created Satan originally as a good celestial being. What's a celestial being, you say? This term celestial simply means something that originated from beyond our own time, space, and matter in a different dimension. Some of you know there's different dimensions than the ones that we can see, taste, feel, hear, you know, and all of that stuff. There are other dimensions. And these celestial beings, sometimes we call them angels, but these celestial beings were created good. But Satan was created good, and he also had a choice. And he chose to rebel against the Creator God and to oppose him and God's plan for creation. And because you and me are God's ultimate creation. You know, we're the ultimate creation, humanity. We're the ultimate in God's creation. When he finished creating humanity, he stopped creating stuff like that. We were his ultimate creation. You are his ultimate creation. And because we're his greatest creation, Satan hates that. And Satan's plan and aim in opposing God's will is to cause something to happen to us. This is his plan. The plan of Satan, quite simply, is destruction. I know that sounds heavy, but it's a reality. I know this type of talk freaks some people out, man. Some people get freaked out when you start speaking about spiritual stuff, but it's a reality. There is a plan to destroy humanity, and it is ultimately inspired and overseen by spiritual forces. Read the Bible. When you read the Bible, it makes it very clear. And I know that we live in an age where, you know, there's many people that speak against this stuff. But it's a reality anyway, man. In this season, you've probably come across at least one conspiracy theory. And if you follow the rabbit trail of all of these theories, your mind can get twisted. You can start going off on all different types of stuff. And the thing is this, some of them probably have a lot of truth in. But the intricacies of it, even Sherlock Holmes in all of his glory, with Hercule Poirot, would be hard-pressed to be able to find out all the evidence, to find out really what's really going on, if anything's really going on. But I want to let you know something. The reality is, on its ultimate level, that it's all part of a spiritual battle that's been going on since the start of creation. Forget the Avengers, Thanos and the Guardians of the Galaxy, even though I like those things and like watching them, and I love Rocket, the little raccoon-looking thing, and his famous, one of his most famous sayings, "Attention, idiots." I love that. But forget all that for a minute. This battle is spiritual warfare. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 says this. Peter was the apostle. He says this. He says, "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil," or Satan. "He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering that you are." This thing is a reality. But crazily, check this out. I can't really understand this, but it's true. Crazily, there are some people who actually back this satanic plan of destruction against their fellow humans. And they do it for the promise of power. A desire for power is an indication that in some degree you've bought into the plan of Satan. Heavy stuff. You've only got to look at all the wars that have gone on, that have devastated our planet. In the 20th century alone, we saw more death in war than in all of the preceding centuries before it put together. And let me tell you this. Contrary to what some people say, it wasn't religion that caused it. Religion probably accounted for between 3 and 5% of all war deaths in history. I was reading some stuff about this satanically orchestrated and inspired lust for power. There's a book by a guy called R.J. Rummel, and he starts to look in the 20th century about all the deaths caused in war. Joseph Stalin, 42.6 million. Mao Zedong, 37.8 million. Adolf Hitler, 20.9 million. Chiang Kai-shek, 10.2 million. Lenin, 4 million. Tojo, 3.9 million. Pol Pot in Cambodia, 2.4 million people. He writes this, he says, "Almost 170 million men, women and children have been shot, beaten, tortured, knifed, burned, starved, frozen, crushed or worked to death, buried alive, drowned, hung, bombed or killed in any of a myriad of ways governments have inflicted death on an unarmed, helpless citizens and foreigners. The dead could conceivably be nearly 360 million people. Now watch this, he says this. He says, it is though our species has been devastated by a modern black plague. And indeed it has, but a plague of power, not germs. The historical evidence is clear. It was people lusting for power under some inspired spiritual thing that have caused much of the madness that has taken place. God is not the cause of all of our problems. Death wasn't his plan for humanity, or sickness, or war, or any of the mad things that happened for us. That was all the plan of Satan. And it's that lust for power and control. And if we're honest, man, let's be honest for a minute. As humans, sometimes we want power. We want to associate with power. We want to look like we're powerful. We want to get some power for ourselves. We think that money, we think that stuff, it increases that power because it's in us to be drawn to that. And if we're honest, As humans, we either help that plan to continue or we become victims of that plan. Or we can oppose it and we can choose another plan for our lives. You got all of these things that people are looking at right now, the political elite, the big pharma companies, banking institutions, giant corporations and oil companies. All of them are fighting for power. Are they evil? Well, not necessarily, not all of them. I know many of them just do what they do. We have people that work for those organizations in our churches. They're not evil people, they just go to work. But there are some, the permission givers, that are involved in certain things, seeking power, and they're in danger of compromising their power of choice. Many don't even realize what they're a part of. But if you're walking down the street, if you was walking down the street and you came upon someone getting abused and you did nothing, even though you're not the person doing it, you become part of the problem by doing nothing about it. James 4:17 says, remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. What you do with your freedom of choice is ultimately going to be eternally important. So the plan of Satan is destruction. But what is the plan of God? Is there another plan that we can get involved in? Is there another plan that we can get a part of so that we can resist all of that evil, that we can be part of the solution to this? God's plan is this. Satan's plan is destruction. God's plan is redemption. I really believe that God wants us to understand his plan, the plan of redemption. Redemption simply means this. It means the action of regaining or gaining possession of something in exchange for payment or the clearing of a debt. And that's exactly what the life of Jesus was all about. That was what he did when he became a substitute for you and for me. When he sacrificed his perfect, sinless, beautiful life for our imperfect, sinful ones, our selfish lives, by that action. And it was a painful and humiliating thing that Jesus endured. He was openly rejected. He was unjustly accused. And then he was mercilessly beaten. And then finally, he was cruelly nailed to a cross to die a public death. By that action, man, he fulfilled all the requirements to free humanity from all of its selfish mistakes and from the destructive plan of the enemy of God. Let's face it, we've all made some selfish mistakes. My wife reminds me of mine all the time. I'm sure that in lockdown you've been reminded of some of your selfish mistakes. It's like we're under a microscope right now, and we can see it. You know, it don't take a lot to see that there's still stuff that we do that even in a small way is not perfect. But even still, even more than that, we can't do anything about them. We can't go back. We take a lot of the stuff that we'd done back if we could. Listen, 25 years ago, I was a drug addict. I was a criminal. I'd done some bad things, man. 10 years, done some bad stuff. And if I could, I'd go back and take that stuff back, but you can't go back and take it back. What's done is done. But here's the good news. Everyone say good news. Those things can't be reversed, but they can be repented of and forgiven. You can come before God and you can confess and say, listen, I was wrong, I've messed up, I've made mistakes, forgive me. And through what Jesus accomplished, you can have that forgiveness. God's plan has always been that we should know him and know him intimately and personally. That's why it's so powerful that we're having church at home, because he's not boxed into a building. He can be with you right now. He can be in your house right now. He can touch you right now. His presence is not limited to where I'm at. It can be exactly where you're at. And he's always wanted us to live in a relationship with him as our creator. And that's why Jesus entered our reality as God the Son in human form, to become like us, to overturn and undo all of that dangerous, destructive plan of Satan in our lives, to make redemption a possibility. Today's Palm Sunday, man. Today begins the Feast of Holy Week. On Palm Sunday, it was the day that the lambs that were used for sacrifice at the Feast of Passover to the Jews were brought to Jerusalem to be chosen. If you could see the scene, and different writers have pictured the scene, is that coming down from the Mount of Olives in up into through the gates into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, this day, you would see thousands and thousands of lambs being brought by their owners into the city, where they would be sacrificed and their blood would be used as a covering, or what they call an atonement, to bring people back, to cover their sin, to cleanse them. To some of our modern minds, we think that it's barbaric, and you know, we think that, well, there's nothing that we need to do like that today. But listen, what else can wash away that stain in our lives? What else can wash away and cover some of the things that we've done? We can forget about it, we can ignore it, but it still stays the same unless something washes it clean. These sacrifices were made for forgiveness, and every year they needed to be done. So on this day, 2,000 years ago, Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey. But watch this. He fulfilled prophecies that day that had been spoken about beforehand. The fact that he would come in on a donkey, it was prophesied. And then coming in, that he would become the God's anointed, the Messiah. And watch this. I've mentioned before that God's plan is foolproof, foulproof, and it has a schedule. Watch this. This will blow you away. In the book of the prophet Daniel, who was alive hundreds of years before Jesus came, in chapter 9, verses 24 through 26, Daniel gave a specific timeline for this to happen. There was a specific timeline. And when you break it down, he prophesied that it would be 173,880 days. That's how specific it was. Until this event would occur, that the king would enter into Jerusalem and that these things would begin to start to take place. On the day before Passover, Jesus went to the nearby town of Bethany near Jerusalem. This was 6 days before Passover. It says this in John chapter 12 verse 1. And he entered Jerusalem the next day. Some people have worked it out to help us out in our timeline. It was probably April the 6th, the year 32. And check it out. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, we know the story. We've been around before, that they throw the palms down, they sing Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. But you know, it was only a certain group that was saying Hosanna. There was another group that was waiting to shout, crucify him. Everyone has a choice. But when he entered, it was exactly 173,880 days from the time of Daniel's prophecy. In this act, Jesus was confirmed as the Messiah, the Savior. It might have seemed like it was an impromptu thing, but it had been scheduled in eternity, and it came about right on time. I want to let you know, whatever time we're in right now, God has got it labeled down. He knows what time it is. He knows what's about to happen. He knows where you're at. He knows what's going to happen. But what he wants us to do is he wants us to understand that his plan is the one that we need to get involved in and get on board with that plan, so that we join in right in that perfect time with God. God's plan has a schedule, and we're right where he knew that we would be right now. Jesus wants to pay your debt. He wants to wash you clean. He wants to free you once and for all from the plan of destruction. He wants to take you out from being a victim to that plan, or even being someone that keeps that plan running. He wants to get you out of that place, and he wants to put you right where it is that he wants you to be, under his covering, under his wings, next to his heart, in his perfect place. But the choice is yours, man. What plan are you going to follow? Jesus said, he laid the reality out like this. John chapter 10, verse 10. Says the thief's purpose, and he's talking about Satan, he's talking about his minions, he said the thief, he calls him a thief, because he comes to rob. He says, the thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy. Ain't we seeing that? Don't we see that around the place? Don't we hear of that? Isn't it all about that right now in the news? But Jesus said this, that's his plan. He said, but my purpose, my plan is to give them life and life in abundance. Or in another version, it says, to give them a rich and satisfying life. Being rich is not about how much money you got, man. It's about your relationships. It's about the quality of your life. It's about what you enjoy, how you live. How much life are you living? That's what Jesus wants you to have. Not fear, not paranoia. You see it all around you when you go to the store, when you go out to the shops. I was taking my dog out for a walk yesterday and people were walking around me in a circle. We're keeping distance, but some people are so scared and so paranoid. But listen to me right now. God's plan is that even in the midst of this time, that you should enjoy the life that he wants you to have. Even with your spouse, that you learn to enjoy your spouse. You learn to enjoy your kids. Kids, that you learn to enjoy having your parents around. Or even that you learn to enjoy your own company for a season. Learn something. Grow in some area. Invest in something that you're going to bring out of this season. Get around someone. Make some phone calls to people you haven't spoke to for a while. Do something good. That's God's plan for you. And he wants you to understand it, and he wants you to choose it. Destruction or redemption? A stolen destiny or one that is full of purpose, an abundance of love and an abundance of life? Listen, if you're feeling something right now, if you're feeling an awakening to the truth of God's plan for your life, and you want to join the family of God at this time, it's very simple, man. I know there's some of you watching, you've been asking questions. You've been looking at your mortality. You've been looking at the world around you. It's confusing right now. The things that you placed all of your hope and your trust in, all of a sudden, that stuff's being taken out of the way. Your job, your money, your career, your future, your idols. It's gone. What is it now that you're centering on? If you're feeling that awakening, if you're feeling that connection, if you're feeling that, you know what, maybe this is the truth. Maybe there's more to this than I ever thought was possible. Then it's very simple. God the Father is doing it. He's inviting you to come to him by his grace. He's calling you. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it says this. It says, if you openly declare, or if you confess with your mouth, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, what does that mean? That means that he's in control, man. Jesus is in control. If you declare that openly, you're open about it. It says, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Some of you know, we're going to find this out next week, that Jesus died and paid the price, but he didn't stay dead. That's why we have hope. If you believe it, and there's evidence for it, if you believe it right now, it says you will be saved. You will enter a different plan than that plan that's trying to come across and come upon all of humanity right now, that plan of destruction. You get out of that plan and you come into that plan of God. It says, for it is by believing in your heart that you're made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you're saved. You say, but is something happening right now? Listen, one more scripture. John chapter 6, verse 44 says this. For no one can come to me, Jesus said, unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. He's drawing you right now, wherever you're at. You might have a family member that's a Christian. Your parent might be a Christian. Your friend might be someone that's been following Jesus and you're asking questions right now. Maybe you've been invited to watch this on social media for the first time and you're wondering what to do. Listen, if you're feeling drawn, if you're asking questions, God is drawing you by his grace. I got saved on a Wednesday night in July 1995 as a drug addict. Desperate, criminal, violent. But something started to draw me. I wasn't looking for Jesus, but Jesus was looking for me. And right now, he's looking for you. He's looking for you in your house, in your home. He's looking for you right where you're at. He knows what you've done. He knows what you've been through. He knows what you're going through now. And he's calling you to himself. And then he says this in the last thing. He says, and at the last day, I will raise them up. That's our hope for the future. One day this life's going to end. No one gets out of life alive, man. There's only one person that's ever got out of life alive, and that was Jesus Christ. But where are you going to go? What's next? We can choose right now. We can settle that right now by choosing the plan of God. I want you to close your eyes right where you're at right now. I'll try to simplify this. God's been placing it upon my heart. He wants you to understand there's more to it. There's more out there. It's simple. If you're there right now and you say, I want Jesus Christ to save me and forgive me and bring me into his family and get me into his plan, then I want you to pray. Just open your mouth. You're in your house. Open your mouth and say, cry out to him. It's okay, ask him. There's no real set prayer. You just cry out and say, Jesus, forgive me. I believe in you. I want to know you. I want you to change me. I want you to give me peace. And I want you to give me a future. And I want you to cover my past. Help me, Lord. Help me. Right now, in the name of Jesus. If you're with someone right now, pray for them. Get with someone. I believe that there's a holy moment taking place in people's houses right now. I believe that there's a holy moment. I believe that if you could see it, and I don't want to freak you out anymore with spiritual talk, but if you could see it, you would sense and you would see that God's warriors, his angels, his God's team is around you right now. Man, I believe it. My life has changed. My wife's life has changed. Your life can change. Let me pray for you right now. Help me right now to pray. If you're with someone, if you're with your family members, pray this right now. Receive it right now. My God, in Jesus' name, I pray in every house, in every home, in every family, to every single person watching right now, that your love would be so tangible. I believe that you can reach out over space, over distance. And even in these times of what the government calls social isolation, God, you can wrap your arms around hurting people, that you can hug a broken person, that you can love on someone that's lonely. My God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Touch them. Feel them. Open their eyes that they can see what's really going on. And open their hearts so they can understand that your plan is the plan that is not going to fail. It's the plan that gives us a pathway into the future that you created us to live. Brothers and sisters, family, you're gonna live your dreams. Because God loves you. Come on, let's begin to pray right now. Come on, lift up your hands in your place right now. Begin to pray in your own words right now in your house. Lift it up. Let there be a beacon of praise. And just try it right now. Just if you don't know what to do, man, if this is your first time, just say, thank you, Jesus. Just shout hallelujah. It means praise God. And then just begin to lift up your voice and lift up your hands and begin to worship the living God. Just for 1 minute right now. Just 1 minute. Take 1 minute right now. Wherever you're at, begin to praise the name of Jesus. His plan will not fail. His plan is to give you hope. His plan is to give you a future. His plan is to release you. His plan is to set you free. His plan is to love you. His plan is to give you freedom. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, I pray every blessing on every house, peace, protection, safety and health, provision, but most of all, your presence. In the name of Jesus.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Go to vomanchester.org for more information.